you are telling me the same thing, that he didn't pay worth a damn.
You got that right. It was Gannett.
Wow.
I don't know how much he was in charge of the payroll, so I'm not going to blame Terry for that. But, one of the better staffs we had I've ever been part of, with John and Dan Morris and all the people that were there. I learned a whole lot. It was my second job, but it was a very lively staff with Terry running around like his hair was on fire half the time, trying to make sure we got stuff done. So no complaints on my time in Jackson. So no complaints.
Dwayne, we thought we were calling to sort of celebrate the Suns making the NBA Finals in the Western Conference, but all of a sudden this CP3 story has come out of nowhere. What can you tell us about it?
Well, he is under the protocols, obviously. They'll have an update Saturday in regards to his status. If you read between the lines, you could read it a bunch of different ways. You could think, okay, they left to update it on Saturday. They would open up the conference finals either Sunday or Tuesday. So if it's a short-term deal, maybe when they come back Saturday, they're like, hey, look, you know, he's good to go, blah, blah. Or they come back Saturday and say, well, he's not going to be available for the start of the finals. But it's clearly something that's been going on throughout the year. This is kind of out of the blue in a sense, because they've gone a stretch without positive tests, as you're narrowing down the field of teams, so there's less people to test. So that reduces the opportunity for someone to have a positive. And so if that is the case, this could easily be contact tracing, where he was around someone who tested positive, and then they're having to figure out, you know, we have to sit him out. And then, or he could be fully vaccinated, and if you still tested positive, then now you're looking at, okay, how do they handle this? Because they haven't had to be in that situation where they had a guy that tested positive, if that is the case, again, who is vaccinated. So there's a lot of things that the NBA is having to sort out on what to do with this. Now, they will release the test results today, like today, because they've been doing it every Wednesday. They won't release names, but they'll know if anyone has tested positive within the last. Suns probably tested yesterday. If they're going to release that today, and if the release says one test confirms positive, then you add A, B, and then you can figure that out.
Hey, so Dwayne,
there's a lot going on here.
Before we go any farther, we've got a terrible connection. Sounds like lightning bolts in the phone. We're going to hang up and call you right back, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Let's see if we can make this work a little better. So we'll call Dwayne back here in just a second. So, Terry, this is, I guess, the startling part of this is that we have had so little of this in recent weeks.
Yeah, it did kind of come out of nowhere. I think, you know, when you look at the way that they've been trying to get the vaccination through and the way that they've been trying to make sure that they're still following protocols, I'm a little surprised that this happened here at this juncture of the playoffs. And certainly it lets you know that we are, and that all the teams are in a situation where you can't let your guard down at all.
Let's bring Dwayne back up, and hopefully we've got a little better phone connection. Dwayne, you all don't know at this point whether Chris Paul has been vaccinated, do you?
We don't, because they've been so private in that regard. I can remember asking Coach Williams just about the fact that, you know, because they're at 85% vaccination for a team. And if you're that, then you can limit the restrictions. You know, you can't limit them all, but you can reduce some if 85% of the team, meaning players, coaches, staff, are vaccinated. And he was like, well, I'm not going to get into that. I don't think he understood what I was asking, or he was like, I'm just not going to ask this question. But that's the number that teams, you would think, at this point has reached. And so if that's the case, then it becomes, you know, what happened. And if you just and again, I don't know if he's tested positive or not. I don't know if he's been vaccinated or not. But when you're talking about, you know, after the game, you know, he was around a lot of people, you know, as far as, you know, celebrating and everything. And so that's after game four, which was Sunday. And so, you know, anytime you're in that, you know, it was a risk. And you can tell how fans have lightened up because before, they would just exit the court. They wouldn't even interact. It was like, hey, mask on, get out, da-da-da-da. But they've laxed in that, you know, within the last, I want to say, month. So, you know, that whole being strict thing, you know, if he ends up being testing positive, you know, you might see them go back to that. I just saw a situation today where before guys weren't wearing their mask during the Zoom interviews here recently. Well, today Monty Williams was wearing his mask. And so that's getting back to what it was, you know, and handling it.
Interesting. Watson, say hello to Dwayne.
Dwayne, how are you? Do you miss Tennessee?
It's not nearly as hot there as I'm sure it is here because we're in triple digits. No, actually, I had a ball in Jackson. When I was there, you know, I was helping Dan cover UT football, and that's when Peyton Manning was there. So it was big fun up until that Orange Bowl when Nebraska turned him upside down and had him, you know, dangling there. But that was good stuff. High school was great there. You know, it's a very competitive situation there with that. And like I said, learned a lot. But I was a columnist in Montgomery covering Alabama and Auburn. So he would make that trip to Tennessee to see Alabama and Tennessee play. And then, of course, Auburn would play them every once in a while I was there. But, you know, between that and Bruce Pearl and all the connections that were going on, you know, Tennessee, I've never had a problem, really. SEC tournament obviously was there for basketball and had a good time there and know a lot of people there that I worked with, again, not just in Jackson but in Nashville. Ran into Terry a couple of times, is, you know, over the time. I remember we met we saw each other at a Titans-Browns game because I was doing a story on Isaiah Crowell played at Alabama State and it was with Cleveland. So yeah, every time I've gone, I've never been there, had a good time. I'm not complaining where I'm at because I'm very happy, but I had a good time at Tennessee.
Do you know, Dwayne, what is the longest Chris Paul could sit out with a different protocol, whatever, if he was not vaccinated, he did test
days.
Positive. What is the longest in the NBA he would sit out?
10 days at least.
10 days. So he's not done for the series.
That would mean that he tested positive and they're going to quarantine him for 10 days.
So that would be two games worth?
As far as games?
Yeah.
Let's just say it started today, because they've made the announcement today. So if the Clippers Jazz series starts, if the Clippers Jazz series ends in six games, conference finals will start Sunday. So they play every other day. So you're looking at Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. So that would mean he would miss two games. That's why people are pulling for the Jazz Clippers to go seven games, because then that would mean that the conference final starts on Tuesday, and if he was to miss 10 days, then he would just miss likely the first game on Tuesday, and he would be back for game two on Thursday.
How important is he to him? Booker and Bridges have been really good young players. Will they play as well without him? Is he such a big piece for both of those? Can they win without him? And how surprised are you with the Suns and the run they've made?
Well, to address the first part, they're not here without Chris Paul. I'm sorry. Booker has played well this year. Bridges and Aiden have gotten a lot, have improved. Jay Crowder has been great as far as an addition. Cam Johnson's played well. They've got a very good bench. Cameron Payne has played well also, but they're not here in this spot without Chris Paul. Just to put it in perspective, in the conference semifinals, he averaged 25 points. He shot 61.8% from the field. He shot 6 of 8 from 3. He had 41 assists to 5 turnovers. In the fourth quarter, he missed 3 shots total. You do not get through the Denver Nuggets without Chris Paul. So they're not where they're sitting right now without him. As good as the other guys are, and as great of a player as Booker is, and as great of a coach and job Monty Williams has done this year. As far as surprise of the season they've had, it's definitely been a surprise in the sense of, you know, the other teams. You know, when I was looking at this coming into the season, I was like, well, you've got the Lakers, and then you've got Clippers, and then you've got Denver. So I was thinking of the other teams, to be honest. I wasn't thinking necessarily how good the Suns could be. I was just thinking, well, they got to go through these other teams. And what we found out as the season progressed was that, you know, they were formidable, and you could see the defense was there, which is what a lot of other teams don't have. They defend as good as anyone in the league, from perimeter down to Aiden being a rim protector. And you know, you can have all the scoring you want, but at a certain point, if a team can defend you and limit to you, and then they also have guys that can score. So now you got a complete basketball team, and that's what they are. They're probably the most complete team. They're not the most talented. You know, Brooklyn and the Clippers are the most talented teams, I feel. But as far as complete coaching, style, defense, leadership, all of those things you put in the play, that's the Phoenix Suns. So when you look at it in totality, hindsight 2020, it's not as surprising as one might think. The Lakers, Davis went out, Anthony Davis had the injury, so that flipped that series. But as far as the beginning of the year, if someone would have told me they would be a 2 seed in the conference finals after going through the Lakers and the Nuggets, I would have said, "You're right." Well, they're there now.
Terry?
Dwayne? You know, I remember the Suns back in the day when they had Charles Barkley and Thunder Dan Marley, and they were pretty good. Then they fell off the map for the better part of a decade or more, it seemed like. It wasn't that long ago. They were one of the worst teams in the league. And then they seemed to find something in the bubble late in the year last year. Beyond just the addition of Chris Paul, what is it that's transformed this team into a contender?
Well, the bubble helped, and then, as you said, just 2 years ago they won 19 games, and then the year before that they won 21 games. So you go from that to winning 51 games 2 years after the 19-win season. It's a ridiculous turnaround. But for me, it all started when James Jones hired Monty Williams, and that was the beginning, because they had to get someone in here who not only could coach, but had experience in coaching. And I think that the move adding Monty greatly led to Chris Paul wanting to come here, because he had worked with Chris. They were together in New Orleans for one season. Even though it was just for one season, they developed a bond and a connection that stayed throughout. So I don't think Chris Paul is here without Monty Williams. But then I don't think Devin Booker becomes as good of a player as he is now without Monty Williams not only challenging him to be better, but to also have his back through thick and thin. He would defend Devin. He's a support of Devin, but he also challenges Devin. And so him developing DeAndre Ayton, helping develop Ayton. Ayton had all this, I can dribble, I can shoot threes, I can shoot jumpers. And Monty Williams said, you know what, that's good, but as long as you just stay in that paint and stay down there and score from 5 and in and defend and protect the rim, and we got all this other stuff handled. We just need you just as he simplified things for Ayton. And in the bubble, that helped Bridges and Cam Johnson and some of the younger guys get better because they grew in that environment. So when you add all that up and then they bring in Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, now you have a team that is far more complete than it was 2 years ago. And then it was just a matter of, can they compete with what they're going to face in the Western Conference? And they proved themselves to be very much capable of doing that. And so a lot of factors involved, but to me, it all started with hiring Monty Williams. He was the right guy at the right time for this franchise. And he's making James Jones and Robert Sarver and anyone involved with this organization look pretty smart right now.
And then last thing, how much has the Phoenix community kind of and the people in Arizona kind of rallied around this team? Are they excited about Suns basketball again? Because I know that they were the first and oldest franchise professionally out there. They've right. since been joined yeah. by the Cardinals, the Diamondbacks, and the Coyotes. So right. it's a very crowded sports dollar and sports landscape out there. Now, are the Suns still king of the hill?
They are right now because they're winning. But it is a basketball first town. I mean that's what it is. So when they are winning and they get behind them, I'll just give you just really quick couple quick examples. They started to obviously expand the crowd capacity, and they've been sold out for the last since they've gone up to 16,000, and the fans have just been insane over them. I mean, it's been like completely insane on how they reacting to every play that they make, and the LA series was Lakers series was ideal to start them off because the LA beat LA chance were going and they're booing LeBron and it just all just worked out in that sense. But the latter point I will make is after they swept Denver, you started seeing on social media, oh, fans are going to meet up. You know, to have them come in after they fly in, I'm thinking, well, this is just conference semifinals. This isn't the NBA finals. This isn't, you know, what's going on? So curiosity says, let's go out here and see for myself. So I go out there, and you think, and it's just a handful of fans initially, and then the numbers started growing and growing and growing, and to the point where they thought that one police officer was going to be enough to handle it. Ended up being four police officers having to handle the fans that were out there. And the players were driving out, and they were shocked. They literally were looking around like, what in the hell is going on? Why are all these – we can't believe this many people are out here just to get a glimpse of them. They weren't like, you know, drop-top parade where they're out there. They got to roll down windows, or some of them weren't rolling down the window. They were just waving at them. But they were literally – not stopping cars, but cars had to stop because it's like, you know, you don't want to run somebody over, right? So it reached a point toward the end where DeAndre Ayton, who is a complete ham, who just gobbles up attention, jumps out the sunroof and just started engaging them by waving his hands up and down, and they lost it. But the fans literally lost it around him, and you got people with baby strollers. I mean, it was like all age groups were out there, from the 6-7-year-old to the 60-65-year-old. And so that personified the way they are reacting to this team. And I even talked to some people, and they were like, we didn't see that coming. We saw, you know, that it was going to be a possibility, but we didn't see this kind of reaction. The team hasn't made playoffs in 11 years. So you're talking about a bunch of pent-up frustration, and then also them being bad, not only not making the playoffs, but being awful. You know, they're releasing right now, and usually I'm kind of like, but you know what? If they're 11-year drought, that's fine. Like, I'm sure if Tennessee football ever gets back to that level that it was, you'll see you know that whole thing will be there again. With the pandemonium, and so right now it's pandemonium right now with the Suns. So, you know, enjoy it, have a ball with it. So yeah. You know, because this has been a long time coming for the franchise and the city and the people here.
Dwayne, thank you so much. Great report. It's good to talk to you.
All right now. Terry, you stay safe. Keep him in line since you only come in there once every blue moon.
He's already dogging me here. Good catching up with you, Dwight.